Today on Uncommon Stories, we will find out how our lovable, trusting, loyal best friends came to live with us. Our dogs. And we'll see how some of the most popular breeds of dogs came to be and why they were bred the way they were. They curl up next to us on cold nights to keep us warm. They love to play ball, chase their tails, and greet us with the warmest greeting ever when we come home. It's true. Our dogs are more than just pets. They're our best friends and members of our families. And they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. And everyone has their favorite kind of dog. But can you name the most popular breed to own and be part of a family? Think about it, and we'll see if you're right at the end of our story. So where did mankind's best friend come from? Scientists have studied this a lot more than you might think. Many researchers believe that dogs and gray wolves come from an extinct wolf species, most likely close to 40,000 years ago, and these wolf dogs were domesticated not too long after. The theory is that early nomads would take wild wolf dog pups and raise them to help them hunt. And as the years, decades, and centuries went by, and hunter-gatherers started building villages, their helpful hunting companions became more and more domesticated, until they were eventually bred, sold, and kept as family pets. That's one story. Another theory is that dogs were domesticated more than once. First in Asia, in a similar way as stated earlier, some 14,000 years ago, and then split sometime after that into East Asian and Western Eurasian dogs. It is thought that the European dogs did not survive, and the dogs we know and love today trace back to the East Asian branch. And yet another theory suggests that dogs actually domesticated themselves. This event took place much earlier than the 40,000 years ago theory, closer to 14,000 years ago, like the two domestication theory, when nomads had already created dwellings and more permanent societies. It is suggested that wolves or wolf dogs would hang out on the outskirts of villages where the people would throw their trash. Supposedly, people in that day did not need the heavier proteins that we consume today, thus they threw out meat that they were not going to eat. This gave rodents, small carnivores, and large carnivores, such as our friend the wolf, easy meals. It's believed the wolves, being the smarter of the animal opportunists, began to live closer to villages and made trash piles their regular source of food. Most likely the villagers even threw food to the wild animals when they saw them. Over time, the wolves came to trust their human food suppliers, and just as you feed a stray animal today, it sticks around and becomes part of the family. Finally, the wolves just lived in town and became part of the culture. How dogs became domesticated might not be fully known, but the fact that it happened is incredible. An anthropologist, Brian Hare, stated, "The domestication of dogs was one of the most extraordinary events in human history." Dogs were the first wild animals to be domesticated, and even though they were first used to assist humans in hunting and protecting, and many breeds still have those traits today, they give comfort, companionship, and happiness to their owners. In fact, the bond between humans and dogs has proven to be so strong, it has created a scientific phenomena. Since domestication, dogs have not only changed physically, but socially. Experiments have been used to find the differences between present-day wolves and dogs. Problems such as boxes that can't be opened or pulling toys that stop working were given to both wolves and dogs. While wolves will explore the different options to physically fix the problem, dogs will stop after just a few tries and look back to humans for assistance. It seems dogs have lost some of their physical problem-solving skills and prefer to try more social strategies. They seek a unique cooperation with humans to solve a problem. And further, dogs have learned to take human social cues. That's how Spot knows when it's time to go outside, go to bed, and when it's time to eat. Also, it's how dogs can be trained to do tricks. Several breeds are better at that than others. The relationship between humans and dogs have become so close that our brains are even connected. Studies have shown that dogs' brains use the human brain maternal bonding system. When mammals look into each other's eyes in a caring way, such as mother and child or between lovers, a hormone, oxytocin, is produced. This process creates bonding and trust between the two. But the incredible thing, dogs create this process with humans. And this is the only known example where this occurs between two different species. No wonder we are so close to our dogs. So, we have a basis of when and how wolves became dogs, and how they became part of our family. But what is up with all the breeds of dogs? And how did they come about? And why? Let's look into that. There are over 400 breeds of dogs around the world. And breeding dogs has become a very big and competitive business. And buying a purebred dog can cost you anywhere from a few hundred dollars to several thousand dollars. And of course, all of the kennel shows have pushed the business to where it is. Most breeding wasn't popular until the 1800s, but it became very popular as the century went on. And many of the kennel clubs were started during that time as well. And they continue today with a very storied and esteemed history. Since there are so many breeds, let's break it down to the category of breeds and touch on a few more popular ones. We'll start with sporting dogs. This category includes Spaniels, most notably American and English, Pointers, Retrievers, and Setters, the more popular being the Golden Retriever and Irish Setter. Sporting dogs were bred for hunting, much like how the first known dogs were used. These dogs, however, were bred for specific hunting skills. Some are good bird hunting dogs, such as the Labrador Retriever, and some are bred to flush out larger mammals, like the German Short-Haired Pointer and the Pointer. It made good sense to breed dogs such as this in the 1800s, as many people still relied on hunting for their main source of food. Nowadays, hunting is more sport, but hunters will still use dogs to make the hobby a little easier. Our next group is similar to our first, hounds. Some of the more popular breeds are the Basset, Coon, and Bloodhounds, Beagles, and Dachshund, as well as the fastest dog in the world, the Greyhound. These dogs are bred mainly for hunting as well, but they have a special skill. These dogs have a nose for tracking their prey. Unlike sporting dogs, which usually need their human hunting partners to get close to the prey so they can flush them out, hounds are let loose and find the prey for their humans, and each one has a specialty. The Beagle is known for fox and rabbit hunts. Coonhounds are excellent for finding, you guessed it, raccoons, while their cousin the Bloodhound tracks everything from deer to people. And the short-legged Dachshund was bred to hunt and dig for weasels and badgers. Again, it is easy to see why these types of dogs were bred in the early days of breeding, as they came in very handy around farms and homes. Our next group, terriers, is very different. For the most part, these are smaller dogs from the last two groups and don't seem to fit the part for helping people. But they will surprise you. These dogs were mostly bred for helping around the farm. The bull, fox, and Scottish terriers were excellent at hunting vermin and digging up burrowing rodents around the stables. And the now famous Jack Russell Terrier, like the Beagle, was bred for fox hunting and catching smaller prey around the farm. They may not be as big, but these dogs are just as serious about their hunting as other groups. Like the hunting group, the working dog group was bred for special reasons and includes some of the more popular breeds such as the Akita, Alaskan Malamute, Boxer, Doberman Pinscher, Newfoundland, Rottweiler, and the lovable St. Bernard. And when they named this group working, they weren't kidding. The Akita was first bred to hunt bears. The Alaskan Malamute pulled sleds in snowy and icy regions, and still does today. The Boxer, Doberman Pinscher, and Rottweiler are excellent guard dogs, and no dog is as good at finding and rescuing people as the Newfoundland and the St. Bernard. The Newfoundland specializes in water rescues, as it has a water-resistant coat, rubber-like tail for maneuvering in water, and it even has webbed feet. And the St. Bernard is home in the snow, finding and rescuing lost travelers. If you live in an out-of-the-way place or have lots to protect at home, this is the group to choose from for your next dog. Our next group is a working group as well, but they work a little differently. the herding dogs. These dogs are arguably the most energetic dogs of all the groups. But that makes sense. These dogs were bred to chase and move a large group of animals from one place to another. And that takes a lot of moving around. Some of the more recognized members of this group are the Collie, Shetland Sheepdog, Welsh Corgi, German Shepherd, and one of the smartest and athletic dogs, the Border Collie. Although these dogs are still used as herding dogs today, they are also very popular family dogs. They are very loyal, obedient, and protective of their families. But make sure you give them something to do. They need an outlet for the extra energy they have. Toy dogs are probably the most different of all the groups. The more popular members are the Chihuahua, the smallest of all dogs, Maltese, Pekingese, Yorkshire Terrier, and the Pug, which is a miniature Mastiff. This group of dogs were bred specifically for companionship, and several were bred specifically to be companions for royalty, such as the Pekingese, which was also considered sacred in China and not allowed to be sold to other countries at one time. This group is also home to many lap dogs, like the Chihuahua and the Yorkshire Terrier, also known as the Yorkie. And who wouldn't want a small, warm, cuddly dog sitting on their lap to pet while you're relaxed from a long day? And science has shown that petting a dog is one of the best stress relievers we have. Although these dogs can be protective of their homes and some are not known to warm up to strangers, they are arguably the cutest and most adorable group of dogs. Our last major group of dogs is the non-sporting dogs. This group is basically made up of breeds that don't really fit in any other group. It has lap dogs, such as the white fluffy Bichon Frise, guard dogs like the Bulldog, which, as its name would suggest, was bred to fight bulls, and the Chow Chow, which is the only dog with a multicolored tongue and will fiercely protect its family. This group also has some of the best house dogs in the Poodle, also known as one of the smartest breeds, and the Schipperke. These breeds may not fit in any other group, but they sure are popular and very loyal. That's the list of all the groups of purebred dogs, but the group that I consider the best is the mixed breed group. Although the purebreds have exceptional distinct qualities that make them attractive and wonderful dogs, they are also more susceptible to diseases and birth defects, so you need to take extra good care of them. But the mixed breed group, or the mutts, fight off infection better and are healthier in general. They also tend to live longer than their purebred counterparts. Plus, every one of them is its own original dog. No other mutt is exactly like the other, and they can have traits from all the breeds that they are related to. And in general, they are usually more gentle and friendly. So if you're looking for a good mutt, head to your local ASPCA or animal shelter. There's no doubt you can find a loyal companion and your next best friend. From starting out as wolves and mankind's competitors for food, to helpful hunters, to animals bred for specific duties, and finally to members of our family, dogs are one of the most incredible animals on this planet. So have you thought about which dog is the most popular dog to own? According to Kennel Clubs, the top five round out as such. Number 5 is the Beagle. 4 is the French Bulldog. The Golden Retriever is at number 3, while the German Shepherd takes the number 2 spot. And the number 1 most popular dog? It's none other than the Labrador Retriever. Those top 5 dogs are certainly special, but I like all dogs. Everyone has their favorite, and I have a few I like more than others, but I'll play and curl up with any dog. What about you? Well, there we have it. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Uncommon Stories, and come back next time to listen to more interesting, surprising, thought-provoking, and entertaining stories that are true, but probably are just uncommon. I'm Brad Greer for Uncommon Stories, wishing everyone a wonderful week, and thanks for listening.